Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. Today, we're going over the Let Them Eat birthday cake episode, my birthday episode, cock blocked on my birthday. We'll find out why. How are you doing this week? Are you getting into Halloween yet?
I am. So I just got back from my trip, talked all about it on our Patreon. So if you want to hear about it, it's on there. But it was a whirlwind. And I'm gonna be able to fit in Universal.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm going there on Sunday night before I go on the next trip with my family to Michigan and Massachusetts. So
fun.
It's been a whirlwind, but it's so much fun, you guys. I'm having so much fun.
That's awesome.
And I'm going to fit a lot of Halloween stuff in on this next portion. And even the first portion, like I did so many spooky things in Edinburgh that it feels like I've been doing Halloween stuff. And then I'm definitely doing Halloween stuff in Michigan and Massachusetts. So
yeah, my Halloween is more condensed this year. But when I say condensed, that means like my first Halloween thing is like on the 18th.
Oh.
So, but that's kind of the way it's supposed to be. Like, you're supposed to celebrate the holiday on the holiday, not like a month and a half before. But for some reason, since like 2019, I've been like, I need to do a fall photo shoot on September 1st and been like doing all the Halloween stuff. And I know you do that usually too.
Yeah.
But for some reason this year, I don't know, just being busy and not in the mood. Like, my Halloween's more condensed.
I'm still totally in the mood, but this year, and it's kind of exciting. This year, just everything I'm doing for Halloween is completely different than what I normally do.
Oh, good.
Because usually, I do all the staples. I do the LA Hayride, the Not Scary Farm, the Universal Studios, the Queen Mary, and all of those are amazing. And I absolutely love doing all of those things. But this year, because I'm traveling so much, like, I'll be lucky if I get anything other than Universal in.
Yeah. I'm taking the kids to Disneyland at some point because I have some high school friends who are coming down for Disney Halloween.
Oh, that's what I remember. So your high school friends.
Yeah.
So fun.
So we're going to go. And then Trisha and Tana and I were supposed to do costumes, but we haven't ordered our costumes yet. Hopefully we've ordered them by the time this airs. So we'll see what happens.
What are you guys going to get?
I don't want to say in case this is like before.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully. But that's really all I'm doing. I'm not like doing a big photo shoot or, you know.
I was supposed to do this photo shoot as Elvira, and Cassandra was going to come and give me her dress to wear, and I was going to do photos with her real quick, and I feel like I haven't heard anything, and I feel like it's not going to happen now, so I messaged them this morning. I'm like, are we still on for that, or no?
Well, if you don't do it this year, I think you should just do it sometime during the year when she's not slammed, because this is
that's
like
what I was thinking.
The time she... the character comes out of the crypt. Yeah, just do it like in the spring or something and save it. That way you can like, you guys can have your leisurely pace and put the time and effort into it and it doesn't feel rushed.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because I was feeling like she's only going to be able to like stop in real quick and take photos with me. And I don't even think she's going to be in costume. She's going to be Cassandra, not Elvira. Mm-hmm. And I kind of alluded in my email this morning that, like, if you need to push it, like, I get it. Like, I know it's a busy time and stuff. And it actually works better for me to push it, too, because I'll just be coming back from this other trip. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm just going to be dead after all that's said and done. So no pun intended.
Undead.
But yeah, so I was very excited about that. And I'm still excited about that. And I definitely want to do it. I just don't know if it's going to happen in time for... I wanted to, like, post it in time for Halloween this year, but I think it's just going to be too rushed and too hard for her, too.
Totally.
But you're right. If we do it after the new year, we probably would have all the time in the world to do it and do it 100%. Right and make it fun.
Totally.
Plus, my location fell through, so I would have to, like, freak out and find a location at last second.
Oh, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. You know what I saw on one of my flights is there was a documentary on Frank Capra.
Mm-hmm.
And I know so much. Well, I wouldn't say I know so much about him, but I know about him. And he's like an old time film director.
He did It's a Wonderful Life and stuff like that.
Yes. And it made me think that I should, like, put together a documentary like that on Nick's grandpa.
Why not? Do it while Dickie's still alive, please.
I messaged Dickie this morning because Dickie knows every detail about Nick's grandpa. Like, he was like by his side for years and years and years and knows. And plus Nick's mom, of course, you know, and his two aunts are all still alive. So, like, you know, his kids, I can get firsthand accounts, and they have wild stories that they tell me all the time. Crazy stuff like Howard Hughes coming to the house and like weird quirks that Howard Hughes had. And then he'd send their grandpa to do and stuff like that. Like, just interesting. The parties that they used to have, and they were little girls peeking over the like the stairs, the balcony and stuff, watching all these celebrities show up at the party.
That's fun.
And Howard Hughes stood out to them because he came in tennis shoes.
Oh.
And this is, like, back in, like, the 50s or something. Like, who does that? Like, what? And so they were, like,
super quirky.
So they were, like, giggly and, like, pointy. Yeah. You know, like, oh my God, he's wearing tennis shoes.
That's crazy.
So they have stories like that and stuff, which are fascinating to me. And I thought the Frank Capra documentary was really, really interesting. And I got done watching it and I told Nick, we need to do this on your grandpa.
Yeah, totally.
So hopefully Dickie gets back to me and he's like, yeah, let's do it.
Do it while there's still witnesses.
Exactly. People who know all the stories. Because I think that when you're a pioneer in an industry like that, like, it's such a good story.
Totally. 100%.
So, yeah.
Driving down those dirt roads to shoot some movies.
Yeah, but speaking of Hollywood.
Yeah. So, we're back. And this is my first birthday episode. So, I was super excited about it. Like I've said before, I feel like season 3 was the first season I felt really involved. So, this episode's called Let Them Eat Birthday Cake. And I wanted to do my birthday party, which my birthday party was really just a themed version of the buffet and movie on a Saturday. It was based on the Sofia Coppola version of Marie Antoinette that came out earlier that year. This episode aired on March 18th, 2007. The top song was Glamorous by Fergie. The top movie was still 300. And this episode starts off at the mansion with some vintage music playing.
And so you go walking down the hall and you're holding Duke and heading to Mary's office. And you ask Mary if she's coming to your birthday.
So this first scene is I'm in Mary's office and it's just a setup scene so we can tell the audience what's going on. And I'm telling her, you know, asking her if she's coming to my Marie Antoinette birthday. And Bridget, somebody from the Patreon asked if you could have, like, themed your birthday dinner in a movie, what would you have picked? What movie?
Well, I did the murder mystery stuff. And I mean,
if you had to pick a movie
to go with that, I would have done Clue. Or I would have done...
But if it wasn't murder mystery, if it was just like a buffet that had a theme and like a movie, like what would you have picked?
Oh, like a totally different thing? I don't know. I would have to think about it probably, but probably like a horror movie. It would probably be like Friday the 13th themed and I'd want to do it on Friday the 13th. Yeah. And then everybody'd have to dress up like 80s camper style.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Probably be something like that. I mean, I loved when we did a 50s night. I loved when we did an Italian night.
I did another one the next year for my birthday, which would end up being my last birthday there, which is crazy. But I did Moulin Rouge. Do you remember that?
I do not remember.
Really?
Did we dress up?
I did. I had like the red dress that Nicole Kidman wears.
Wait, I had several Moulin Rouge outfits.
I'm sure you wore one.
Why don't I remember this?
I don't know. I feel like that time in our life, like 2007, was just so jam-packed. Like, remember when we were on the Christmas episode and I'm like, do you remember what would end up being our last Christmas there, 2007? Do you remember that Christmas? And we don't remember. Like, we don't remember it off the top of our head. And honestly, like, the Moulin Rouge theme night is kind of like vague in my memory. I feel like even though I wasn't super conscious of being checked out at that time, I was maybe a little bit checked out. I know I was so into my job at the studio.
Well, I remember watching Moulin Rouge at the mansion. So it had to have been that night. Yeah. I just don't remember dressing up or having like a theme.
Maybe you didn't remember because it was so matter of fact because you already had the outfits, though.
Maybe.
And I think the buffet was like the same as Marie Antoinette because it was just French themed.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it wasn't as memorable, but
that's interesting. Now I can't wait to look at my pictures from like later in 2007, like December, and remember those things because, yeah, I definitely remember watching the movie, but not dressing up.
So I'm in the office telling Mary about this party, and she seems really surprised when I say that we're wearing like the short skirt, like slutty Halloween costume version of Marie Antoinette things.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you like, obviously, like, we're at the Playboy Mansion. That's what we're going to wear.
Yeah.
And then I explain in confessional that I'm excited about my birthday and that when I first moved in, there were seven other girlfriends, so things didn't really revolve around me that much. And it seems like kind of an odd thing to say, I guess, because back then I wouldn't have had the balls to ask to kind of take over a buffet and movie.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a weird thing to say because I definitely think it's establishing that things are different now and that we are in a better place in this relationship than we were before and we are able to do more things now.
Yeah, and I definitely felt more at home there without all of them there. So I felt like I could say, hey, what if we did this buffet? Whereas before, my birthdays were always like a Disneyland birthday, which was great. But it had to be kind of off campus. Like, I didn't feel comfortable asking for something at home when all those other girls were there, really.
Yeah.
And they do the thing where they show a video of, like, what I like to call the flop era of the girlfriends, which I'm not being mean. I was in that era, too. But I didn't make it great. But and they cross out everybody's face and stuff. And I always wonder when they show scenes like that, if the audience at home was wondering what really happened during that era.
Of like, course why, they are.
Why was it so bad? What happened?
I think they definitely are wondering.
And there's a shot of all this craziness happening in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like even though buffet was special that night, I don't think it would have really been that much crazier than usual. Because granted, Lori is baking a special cake. But buffet was always buffet. It's not like I invited so many more people that it had to be this big extra thing. But they make it look crazy back there.
Couple things for this. Secondly, I want to first let me go back to just what we were talking about a second ago. Is I also think that they want to establish is why this is kind of like your first birthday that they're showing.
Oh, right.
But secondly, going back to the kitchen now, there was an outside party going on the same night.
So that's why it was so crazy. Not just because of me. They make it look like it's because of me, but
the kitchen is bustling because it's a buffet night. They're doing a special menu for your birthday. And there's a giant party going on outside.
Yeah, which is kind of like a little theme in this episode is I feel like, and I'm leaning into this too, because I kind of know this is where this is going, but I'm kind of coming off a little pushy and like, I'm the princess and things are going to be my way and everything's cake, cake, cake.
And they make you that way because you're Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, totally. So Brian Olea is being interviewed and he says he's stressed because it's an extra long movie, but we've shown long movies at the mansion before, Bridget. So why do you think it was such a big deal this night?
Well, because I think that the nights that Hef wants to show the long movies, he likes to start them a little bit early. I don't know if it's so the guests can get out and go do something else after, or if it's just because so he can go upstairs and do something else after, which means watch more TV shows or another thing. That's all it meant. And you know that you want to get like your full birthday time in.
Yeah.
So you don't want the movie to start till 7, but more than likely he's going to start it at 6:30 because it's an extra long movie.
It's weird because it felt so unnecessary to me at the time. And when I'm watching this back, I'm like, did he just do this out of spite because it was my birthday? But as I'm watching it with commentary and I hear us talking, we're talking about, no, he does that sometimes if the movie's long and it kind of seems like he was doing it more lately. But it's like we're filming this for the show. We have a whole special menu. We have like presents. We have like all these things. We have like the champagne tower, whatever. and we're filming it for the show and we need the content for the show, which usually he's so supportive of doing extra different things for the show. But this time, no, he's still like wanting to start it early. And I'm like, is he being a dick? Is he like cock blocking me on my birthday?
Did he for sure want to start it early? Or was Brian just like saying, look, I'm not going to tell him. It's up to you to tell him.
Wanting to start it early and it being like, I had to explain like, no, like we need to film for the show. And
yeah, yeah.
Extra stuff.
No, I remember him wanting to start it early too. But I was just wondering, was he really like, no way though?
I don't remember. And I don't even remember if we did start it early or not.
I think we started it a little bit early, yeah, but not totally. The full 30 minutes.
But I feel like it's kind of an asshole move. Like usually he starts a movie at 7.
Yeah.
And this is like the first time I'm getting kind of a birthday at home. First time I'm getting a birthday on the show.
Yeah.
We need to film. And he's like, no.
And does 30 minutes really make that much of a difference?
I mean, it does for me and what I'm trying to do.
Right.
But does it for him?
Right.
No, he's just kind of being a dick.
Yeah.
So Brian's being interviewed. He says he's stressful. And also he rented wigs, like white powdered wigs for all the staff to wear, which I thought was so cute. It wasn't something I asked for. It was something he came up with. And I thought that was super fun. And then it cuts to you wrapping presents with Gizmo in your room. And I have to ask, is this like a themed outfit? Because you have like a red shirt and a red bandana.
No, it's not a theme.
I'm like, is this a costume of some sort?
It was not. I like the bandana, especially like if I have roots or greasy hair or something. Like I just like the look. I think it's cute. I remember you didn't like it though. I remember you told me something one time.
I like it.
Yeah, you made a comment one time and I was like, oh, Holly doesn't like this look.
Why?
You said something about it being like peasant chic or something like that. I forget what the words were exactly.
Oh, that doesn't mean I don't like it.
You know what? Something about...
It is peasant chic. That's exactly what it is.
Something about wearing like a bandana like that I think is cute. And for some reason, it makes me feel like this is going to sound weird, like my German heritage or something.
Yeah. Or it's very Rosie the Riveter too.
No, I just liked wearing the bandana sometimes on my, and it's wintry. So that's why I have the long red shirt on and I have like wintry boots.
Yeah.
On.
And it shows you putting the basket together for me, which is all like French themed stuff. And it was all like useful things. For example, there were like children's books in French that was supposed to help me with my studies, but I kept those and read them to my kids.
But like, you know what? I feel like when you're learning a new language, children's stuff is so helpful.
It really is.
Like I remember I got the little Einstein CDs and DVDs, and they said that you should just play them at night while you're going to sleep because subconsciously your brain is still hearing them and thinking about them. So I used to play those and I would get myself like kids' Spanish books, and that doll I thought was amazing. I feel like things like that help your brain.
No, they do. Remember when there was a rumor that little Einstein stuff made kids autistic?
No, I do not.
That was like a big rumor for a minute.
Wait, wasn't it just learning aids?
It was, but this would have been like 2010-ish then when that rumor went around, but people were like freaked out about it. I think it was just the time period when little Einstein stuff came out is also a time period when autism was becoming more common and more diagnosed. I don't necessarily think the two were correlated. I'd have to do some research on that.
In commentary, we talk about how we want to do an episode of going to Oregon, to Astoria, and do the Goonies tour. And I want to go to Tillamook. And I said we should all do it at the same time. And I said that Sarah wants to come with us. And I still really want to do that with you guys.
Well, that's another example because you guys are always asking us, like, is there anything you guys didn't get to do? And usually I'm like, no, I think we got to do everything. But that was one. We wanted to do like an Oregon, like kind of Goonies themed adventure trip and like visit where we came from.
Yeah, because I think I've told you guys before, like I was born in Oregon, but I've never actually been there. And I know that sounds so weird, but literally my parents were from California. My dad got stationed in the Air Force. I was born there. And then like, a month later or something like that, was a very short amount of time, my mom moved back to California. So never in my waking days have I like been there. and I want to go. And my sister did a tour, her and her husband, and they went to that. They saw the house that my mom lived mm-hmm. in that I was almost born in because I was literally almost born on the freeway. And then the hospital that I was born in, my sister took pictures out front. It means nothing to her because it's all my stuff, but they went and did all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it all exists still. It's still there. Mm-hmm. And I totally want to do all the Goonies stuff. Did I hear they're coming out with a new Goonies?
Yeah, they're making like an updated Goonies. No, I didn't. Oh,
I'm so excited. I hope it's good.
Me too.
I wonder if it's the original cast.
The original cast like 40 years later.
See, that's cool. I hope it's going to be good.
Me too. And then it shows you holding up a book called Queen of Fashion, which if anybody's interested in that time period or Marie Antoinette, that's a really good book. It's all about her relationship with clothes over the years and what it meant, which is super interesting because back then the queens of France were not supposed to be political at all. So a lot of the way she would communicate stuff to people was through the outfit she chose. It was very like Taylor Swift Easter egg style, like certain colors meant certain things and certain kind of costumes meant certain things. And it was kind of like her one way of like communicating things or like having a political presence without really doing anything.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so it was really fascinating. And you also got me the soundtrack for the Crazy Horse show in Vegas, which now you can get all the stuff online and do
playlist. Sure.
But back then, super rare and super amazing gift.
Back then, it was impossible. Yeah, like, I literally had to call the producers of that show and ask that, or email. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I called, but and ask them for it. And it was kind of like a thing, like, okay, you can't like duplicate this or anything, mm-hmm. you know? But I was like, Holly loves the show so much. And you were looking for those songs. And they were nowhere to be found. But I figured now you can probably find all of them.
But back then it was super good gift.
Yeah.
Super valuable. Amazing.
I mean, I put a lot of thought into this stuff. You know,
it was really good stuff.
The baguette, it's really cute too. And it was a dog toy.
Oh, yeah, the dog toy that was like so cute.
Yeah, and I think the Eiffel Tower was a dog toy too. And there was like a clock. Yeah, there was like so many cute things in there.
No, it was a bunch of good gifts. And before they cut to me in the dining room, they do all these clips of like the mansion setting the scene, and they have like this classical music in the background, and they're trying to make it look very Versailles with like the statuary and the fountain. It's very cute.
I liked all of that stuff.
Yeah. And it cuts back to me in the dining room, and there's these wooden crates behind me, and I was like, what are those? And it turns out it's the champagne glasses.
Yeah,
the champagne tower. But it's also, it looks so like ancient and of the time to have like those wooden crates.
It does say,
like, fragile on it and stuff.
It definitely does. Back to the gift again too. I was worried when I was watching this episode because they show it. I always put everything like in the basket and kind of just arrange it how I think it should look before I like go in and start wrapping it and everything. And they showed it like that. And I thought, oh, they didn't show the final like thing again because they did that to me once before. But then they do show it.
Yeah.
But I was really like freaking out. Oh, and I made that Princess banner too.
Yeah, that's cute.
And there's like the little scepter in there and a tiara.
It's very cute. And then the eternal question, who am I texting in the dining room? I think I was probably texting the girls across the street, like about their costumes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to know who we're texting.
Yeah.
As if you can remember exactly who you're texting.
I always wonder too, because I don't remember really getting into texting until like right before I left the mansion.
Yeah. Well, because it was hard on those phones.
Yeah.
You had to push it like 3 times to get like the R or whatever.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like how it was like.
And once I started working at the studio, I got a BlackBerry and I was always sending emails on the BlackBerry and stuff that were business related. But before that, I don't remember texting that much. So even I'm kind of wondering. And then Brian and I have this cute little back and forth because he's breaking the news to me that Hef wants to start the movie early.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, no, he can't. Why don't you tell him? He's like, I can't tell him. And like, obviously, I know Brian can't tell him, but like we're playing back and forth because it's funny for the cameras.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of leaning into my bratty, bossy, princessy.
Yeah, because I'm watching the scene and I'm thinking, wait, Holly has to know that there's no way.
Totally joking. Yeah,
there's no way that Brian can tell Hef. Oh, sorry, sir. Holly says we're not starting the movie at 6:30. It has to be 7.
But I feel like this is a good example of real drama. Like, obviously, it's not crazy table flipping drama, but it's a true story that Hef would kind of like be a dick sometimes and would like adhere to like sticking to the plan or not even. Starting the movie early isn't even the schedule or the plan, but it's like, yeah, let's do this and like make your birthday a little bit shorter and like make it so you can't do all the things.
Do you think it was because his back was hurting or something that he wanted to like start it early and have the night done earlier? Because later, when we read Crystal's book and stuff, and even Mallory's book, they all talk about how the buffet was started earlier and then the movie was started earlier. Like, it was, they moved the movie to 6 o'clock at one point.
But why would it matter about his back? Because he's sitting on a comfy couch and he goes upstairs to sit in bed with the pillow. It's the same thing.
I'm just wondering what his rush would be to always have it over with.
Stubbornness.
But I don't even mean just for your birthday. I just mean in general. Like, why would he want us to keep starting it earlier? Because we say in commentary, this is becoming a thing with him. He keeps inching it earlier and earlier. And I remember that, too. I remember, like, it used to be 7 o'clock on the dot. We'd start the movie. But then all of a sudden, it started to be like, all right, well, I guess we could start the movie. And it's like 10 of. He would look around, and if most people were done eating, he would be like, all right, movie time.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
impatience.
Yeah, and I think for him, the buffet part of it wasn't the fun part or the entertaining part. That was great for everybody else. I love the buffet. The guests love the buffet. But he doesn't even eat down there. He wants to see guests for like 2 seconds before the movie.
Yeah,
so I think that's more where it was coming from, is like he was finishing his soup and he's done for the day. And he's like, okay, well, let's go say hi at the buffet real quick. And then we can wrap this up and get with the movie. I think it was more that. I don't think it was his back. Because he wasn't doing anything different after. It's not like he's popping pills and moaning and groaning about his back or anything.
I remember him telling Dickie a few times, because Dickie would take the full like hour and a half to eat dinner and stuff and be grazing all the way to the end. I remember him looking at Dickie sometimes and telling him, wrap it up. Let's go.
Yeah.
And Dickie was like, oh.
You know what? I'm kind of surprised Hef left the bickering, not bickering, but like me and Brian back and forth, like, oh, I can't tell him, like looking like he's scared, and me like, no, you have to tell him. Because I feel like Hef really wanted to have himself portrayed on the show that he's just like this genie who grants everybody their wish and stuff, doesn't want it to look like anybody's like, God forbid, afraid to talk to him about anything.
Yeah.
I guess it just comes off so cutesy that nobody's really bothered by it.
Yeah.
And I know Kevin would have liked the scene because he liked any Brian related scenes.
Yeah.
And I'm telling Brian, I go, well, tell him I said so. And I was thinking, did that work? Like when Hef was like married to Kimberly, if Kimberly would have told a butler, oh, well, tell him I said so. Like, would that have worked?
I wonder too. You know? Or even Crystal, who had so much control later.
Yeah.
But did it work if she said, we're starting the movie early tonight?
Yeah. I wonder.
Tell Hef I said so?
Mm-hmm.
Or if Hef was like, what? Or if the butlers were like, what? I'm not telling him.
Speaking of the pantry and wives and stuff, where did I see a rumor where somebody, like somebody from the staff, said that allegedly Crystal's mom would be down in the pantry saying that Crystal could do better financially than Hef, and that Hef didn't have enough money for Crystal?
I saw that too. Where was that?
I don't know. And it's alleged, guys, so don't come down on us. But I was like, who? I got the impression it was somebody from the staff, like recently revealed this, but I don't know who they revealed it to.
Wait, why can't I even remember where I saw it or read it or anything now? Like, I don't remember if that was Instagram, if somebody texted it to me, if it was a, like, I don't even know where I saw it.
And then at the end of the scene, I say, I'll tell him before dinner that he's not starting early. And they do a really funny cut to Brian just laughing in his confessional. And I don't know if he's laughing about that, but it's a funny cut.
Oh, yeah. He just looks like, oh, like frazzled and like, no way can I be a part of that.
Can we talk about the portraits?
Yes, it's the very next scene. There's a car pulling up to the mansion and Mark Fraser shows up with these portraits of Holly and Hef.
Yeah, so Mark Fraser did the body painting. He also did a lot of gifts we paid for Hef, where he would like Photoshop cutesy little pictures and stuff. And what I wanted was in Marie Antoinette, there's a scene where they show like a famous painting of Marie Antoinette. But since it's Kirsten Dunst as Marie Antoinette, they redid the painting. So it looks like her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted. I wanted it to look like somebody painted me like in that dress and stuff, which I have to say you redeemed this with your Christmas gift to me last year because I love that painting and that's what it looked like. So that's what I asked for Mark. And he did that with Hef as Louis the 16th. And it looks right. It looks like somebody painted Hef. Mine is not cute.
I don't like it.
It looks
either.
Like Photoshop. It looks like jib jab. It looks like somebody Photoshopped my face and it's so ugly. And can you tell in the show that I don't like it? Because I really tried it. Because there's nothing I could do at the last minute. This is like the day of.
Right.
I don't want him to feel like he flopped. There's nothing you can do about it now. So I'm like, oh my God, it's so cute. But can you tell I hate it?
I can tell you hate it. But I think you do a good job of like not showing it. Mm-hmm. But there are little things that you say that I picked up on. Like you're like, Hef's is amazing.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But you don't refer back to yours.
Like Hef's was exactly what I wanted, but mine was not cute.
Yeah, but I do like the one that I got you for Christmas.
No, that one is so cute. I posted on my Instagram. I'm like, if any of you guys remember my awful Marie Antoinette portrait.
This is what it should have looked
like. Yes, like this is redemption. So thank you, Bridget.
Of course.
And then the next scene is a Kendra scene. And I know this is crazy to say because at this point, we're only 5 minutes into the episode. But also you have to remember that 5 minutes of a 22-minute episode is like over one-fifth of the episode. So it seems like we've gone, not that I've like missed her this long, but it's like this is the first we're seeing of Kendra. So she like has not been involved for like a good chunk of the episode.
Yeah.
And she's in her room at her desk and she's calling her mom. She looks pissed. There are some cute Olive Garden cups in the shot for the observant viewer.
Yeah. She says that somebody sent those to her in the commentary.
Uh-huh. And it shows her on her laptop and she's telling her mom that she's shopping for birthday presents for me. And they're trying to make it look like she's trying to get my birthday presents the day of, which isn't the case. She's looking at Christmas stuff, but I'm pretty sure because we used to write Christmas lists to each other. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I was asking for all this stuff from the Victoria's Secret catalog and she's shopping for my Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Which is like we're celebrating my birthday weeks before. But they're trying to make it look like she's trying to order a birthday present the day of, which of course mm-hmm. is never going to show. And I do love that they show what the Victoria's Secret website looked like back then.
I did
too. It's just like a fun blast from the past. And for those who don't know, Victoria's Secret catalog used to have a ton of cute clothes. I got like half my wardrobe from there back then. Have you seen that they're reviving like the Victoria's Secret fashion show this year?
I did hear that. Yeah.
And I know I sent you one of the commercials because I thought the lighting was so bad in it. And I'm like, what are they doing to these gorgeous women? But I also saw this thing and I don't know what this was. I have to second guess because I thought it was a social media post that Victoria's Secret put out, but it was so bad. I'm like, maybe a fan did this because they had a list of like all the women who are coming back, which obviously everybody's excited about because they want like the original angels and stuff. But they have this list, like it's a concert roster of these women. But then they would write like Gigi Hadid. And after it, they'd write mother, of course. Or they'd write Candace Swanepoel, queen. And it's like, we already know. And it just looked dumb and choogy.
That's weird.
It was dumb. But maybe it wasn't Victoria's Secret. Maybe like a fan made it. And I just thought it was a Victoria's Secret thing. I'm like, they're not doing this right.
Oh.
It's like, we already know. You don't have to write queen or mother. But you know what I love that Victoria's Secret is doing? Have you seen they made like some of Sabrina Carpenter's costumes, like that white bodysuit she wore for the VMAs?
No,
and like
I didn't
her
know.
Little like rhinestone corsety things for her tour.
Amazing.
I love that. And I hope she performs at the fashion show.
Oh, yeah, that would be incredible.
I love everything Sabrina Carpenter is doing. Like, she's killing me on the daily.
Yeah, that and the Sydney Sweeney stuff.
Yes,
like, I love both of them. The Victoria's Secret fashion shows, one of the things I love about them too is I get so much costume inspiration from them. Mm-hmm. They used to be so costume themed.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, I wouldn't do them exactly, obviously, because those are lingerie costumes, but I'm like, they inspire me to like think of like costume ideas and stuff.
You know what the weirdest one was? Do you remember the one, I think Justin Bieber was performing and the girl had like bike handlebars on her costume?
No, I don't remember that one.
You know what my favorite one was? Is like Miranda Kerr wore it and it was like green and it had like stars on it. It was very like green fairy-ish.
Pretty.
So pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you can get good costume inspiration from those. So hopefully they're like that again.
Yeah. Hopefully it's good. Anyway, cut to you and Monica are driving down to Anaheim to get my birthday gift.
Wait, first, I wanted to say that, you know, Kendra's talking to her mom and she's like, we have to dress old fashioned. And Patty says, how old fashioned? Kendra says, Marie Antoinette kind of stuff. And Patty says, oh, God.
Yeah.
Because I think that Patty was probably thinking like
70s.
Yeah, something like that. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, Marie Antoinette,
oh,
old fashioned. It's not like you can just like pick something up.
I know.
But she's complaining about not having anything to wear. And I'm just saying that now because it's setting the scene for what's about mm-hmm. to happen. Because Patty says, well, can't you just go to the costume store? Which she totally could have. And then Kendra says, no, I don't want to. I think I might have something to wear.
Which I think just setting it up for what's to come later. I think Kendra at this point in real life already knows what she's going to do because this is my birthday episode. And at this point, it's season three. We all know what tropes are expected of us. That's why I'm kind of leaning into bossy, princessy. Everybody's going to do what I say, even though I have no say in this fucking place type of thing. Kendra knows what her assignment is in this episode, or at least what she thinks it is. She's going to have nothing to wear. She's not prepared. She's not into this shit. So she's going to do a whole changing in her room, which they love to see her getting naked and shaking her ass in front of the mirror. And she's going to try on a million things until she finds something.
Yes.
So that's where we think it's going to go.
Yeah. So yes, now I'm on my way to the golf cart place in Orange County with Monica.
Yes, which is all the way down in Anaheim. Now, I wanted a golf cart because we would always walk back and forth, you know, from the mansion to the Playmate house. So you have to walk all the way to that gate and walk all the way to the house, which for us is nothing. But sometimes Hef would go back and forth and he has a bad back and he doesn't want to walk that far. Or sometimes we'd have to carry a bunch
of
things. That's
what I was going
to
say. So we were taking stuff over there and back all the time.
And I thought, wouldn't it be amazing to have a golf cart? Yes. And I thought that for a couple of years, like, wouldn't it be fun that way? If Hef ever needed to go back and forth, he has a ride and we don't have to like get in the car and drive, or we could bring stuff and that would be just cute and fun. So I wanted this, and it was like a more expensive gift for a birthday gift, but it's like, it's something that kind of adds to the place. Like other people can use it. We can use it. Like Hef can use it, like stuff like that. So it's not like I'm like, buy me a $10,000 watch that I can go hide in a safe. You know what I mean?
So,
So the reason I'm saying that is because Hef was so anti the golf cart.
Yes.
He did not want to do it, thought it was too expensive. And I'm like, why are you hating on the golf cart idea? Like, it's not like I'm asking for something. I think I deserved it. And it's not like I'm asking. It's not like a typical sugar baby type of buy me this jewelry, you know, type. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that's kind of fun for everybody a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's my golf cart, but it kind of adds to the place.
I think so, too. It becomes like a character.
Yeah. And it does on the show.
Yeah.
Like they make a whole like cut with it. It's in the intro.
Like I had to go to bat so hard on this one behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Too, because he was so anti-no. And when they would always call me in and be like, what should we get Holly, you know, or for birthdays or whatever, or even and holidays too. But I was like, it has to be the golf cart. Like you have to get it. She wants the golf cart so bad. Like that's the one thing that she wants. And I know he wanted to get you something like really, really nice and everything. And I mean, at first it was a no. It was a total no.
Yeah.
It was too expensive.
Yeah.
But then he finally did and said I could design it because he said he had no clue like what it would should look like or what it would be.
Yeah. And I'm shocked when I'm listening to the DVD commentary, how candid we're being in it, because I'm really going off like, yeah, Hef didn't want to buy this. He's so grumpy about it. And I feel like when we did seasons one and two DVD commentary, we were a lot more careful.
Interesting.
So when we did commentary for season three, that would have been like right after we started shooting season four. So I think it speaks to like our confidence level at that point.
Yeah.
Or the fact that maybe we realized Hef wasn't really sitting there listening to the commentary.
I think that's more it.
And we could be. So when you walk into the shop, the cart is already done. But tell me about the process. How long did it take? How much did you get to actually pick on it?
Almost everything.
Oh, cool.
Let's see. I'm not sure how soon we started on it, but ahead of time, I think it was like a couple of months beforehand. And I went down there. I talked to them about everything. They sketched a little bit. I told them the colors, the slogan on the back, just as much as I possibly could. There were some emails back and forth with some photos. Do you like this? Do you like that? And yeah, so I feel like I was pretty involved. There were some things that still surprised me too, though.
It was so cute.
Yeah, it was really, really cute. And you can customize every detail of these things, like down to the rims.
Speaking of the golf cart, I know a lot of you want to know what happened to it.
Everybody asks.
Well, everybody wants to know. I think the big question people have is like, did I get to keep it? Like, did I get to take it or did I have to leave it there? Mm-hmm. No, I got to take it and I had it for a long time until I was married. And as far as where it is now, you have to ask my ex-husband. I do not fucking know. He took it and it's gone and I'm bitter about it, but it's not. But, you know, with co-parenting and stuff and everything's going great with that, it's not the thing I want to bring up and be like, where the fuck is my golf cart?
Yeah.
I thought about just buying a new one. And I've gone back and forth about it because I thought about buying a new one and just not getting the Playboy bunnies on it, but doing everything else like it was. because I thought we could use it for photo shoots and it could be kind of a fun thing.
That would be cute.
But then I was like, no, because it's going to take up a space in my garage.
That is
like,
true.
What am I going to do with it? And it's going to need like repairs and recharging at some point and blah, blah, blah. But then I thought, no, it could be fun because in Vegas, like my house is only like a couple doors down from like my ex-husband's. It could be like a fun thing for the kids.
Totally.
And it's like perfect for that neighborhood. It could be like fun. And so I might still do it. I don't know. It'd be fun. And for those who don't know, Trisha Paytas got like a copy of it made and it's super cute.
Yeah. Well, I think she messaged me too and asked where I got it done. And yeah.
Because it was like before we were friends and she put it on her story. She's like, does anybody know where I can get this golf cart? And I'm like, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the second I walk in, I see it. It's right there. It's on display. There's a big bow on it. And they have this snowman in it with boobs.
Yes.
This is so cute. And I was just like, oh my God, it is literally perfect.
You know what's funny? Did you notice Monica? She goes, oh, nice. And I know she's being sincere because I know her, but it sounds very like, sounds like something I would say that's very like, I'm trying to be sincere, but it just comes off so flat and like haterish.
Oh, no.
Oh, nice. Like me with your Porsche. Oh, cool.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Very spectrum-y. And I say that because I'm on the spectrum. I said that once in a YouTube video. I said that something I said was like spectrum-y. And somebody in the comments was like, did you just say spectrum-y? I'm like, I think I can though.
What's wrong with that? Yeah. So the guy comes out and I talk about how much I love it. And they do all these close-ups on all the details and stuff, which I love that that's all captured.
Yes.
And yeah, it was basically exactly what I wanted. Everything was perfect. Like there was nothing that I was like, oh, that didn't really
turn out.
No,
I thought
it
was amazing. I thought you did an amazing job. Like it was so great.
I love, love, love it. So I'm glad you do too.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the horn though was hella loud on it.
Yeah.
So there's a pedal on the floor and I'm like, what does that do? And he's like, oh, hit it. So I hit it with my foot and it honks and it is so loud. Like I literally scared myself.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So then it gets delivered to the Playmate house and you take Hef over to see it. Mm-hmm. And as he's waiting for the gate to open, he goes, open sesame. And I've seen people talk about this before and how they always thought, and I always thought, that the saying is open sesame. But then people are like, no, it's open sesame. Which is it?
I don't know. I mean,
I always thought it was open sesame. Like, I swear I've seen that written out. And that was like from Aladdin or something like that.
No, I've seen it written out as sesame as in the needle. I mean, the needle.
Yeah. The seed.
The seed.
But then people were saying, no, it's really open sesame. And that's just like the old fashioned way of talking. Like Mario, like, you know how people, and I don't know which one is true with this either, but people say like in the video game in Mario Brothers, when he goes, it's a me, Mario. People always thought it was like Italian, like it's a me. But really like it's a me means something in Japanese.
Yes.
And Nintendo's a Japanese company.
I just saw that.
But is that true or is that just some dumb thing somebody made up?
I don't know.
I don't know which either one is. Like, we need to get to the bottom of it. But it sounds like Hef says a me. But I think that's just like his old fashioned Chicago accent. I don't know what's happening.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So we go over there and it's all covered. So he's helping me uncover it. Which I thought was interesting because I feel like I never see, not that that's some big laborious thing to do, but I never really see Hef doing anything.
Chipping in at all?
Yeah. Like he didn't like, if we had our suitcases that we were dragging down the hall, he didn't say, oh, let me get that for you or, you know, anything like that. So I thought this scene kind of struck me as interesting that he is helping me uncover.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. Do you think he's being more active just because he knows he's on camera?
I don't think so, because I think he could have just as easily have stood there and watched me pull the whole thing off and waited for the reveal, and nobody would have thought anything of it. But it just, I don't know. That probably means nothing to all of you guys. Like what? Who cares? But there was something about that I was like, oh, that's very interesting right there.
Do you think he was actually excited to see the golf cart once he agreed to buy it?
He was definitely excited. Like, as soon as it pulled up, he was like, yes, I want to go see it. Like, the golf cart's here. You want to go see it with me? He's like, yes. Like, and to walk all the way over there and everything and see it, he definitely wanted to. And I really wanted to do a scene where I drive it over. I know that Hank does that later. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God, the attitude I got.
From who?
Hef. No. Are you crazy? No, nobody is driving that. Holly will be the first one to drive it. Like, he freaked out on me because I thought it would be a cute scene if I was the one that drove it over.
I'm shocked he actually stuck up for me on anything. Shocked.
Yeah, no, it was attitude even.
Shocked
it was
like to discover
that I would even, ask to drive it, be the one to drive it over.
Like, who cares?
But he didn't want to see anybody on it before you got to have it, which I think is kind of a
very nice,
a sweet thing.
Yeah.
But also for me, it was weird. Like kind of a dick thing for me.
Yeah, you know? Like, it's weird. It's odd all the way around.
But Hef was really pleased with it, too. He really, really liked it a lot.
And before they show Hank driving the golf cart over, they show the champagne glasses coming out of the rental crates. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do one of those champagne fountains like they do in Marie Antoinette.
I love that.
And then when Hank drives the golf cart over that has a giant bow on it, it's so cute. And he's like, I am cute in this.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
When I had Brian on the Ghost Bunny podcast, he was talking about the champagne tower. And he said that he gets asked to do that all the time because people saw it on the show. And he tells them there's no way he can do that for parties. He said it's so precarious.
Mm-hmm.
And one false move and the whole thing is down.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that that's like one of the things that people totally remember is that champagne.
Oh, my gosh.
But I see so many people doing it. I'm like, no, you have to offer that. That's like cool.
See it in real life at parties?
Yeah, I've seen them on Instagram, like people's weddings or events. I see people doing it all the time.
Yeah, I think it makes sense for an event that you're going to document.
For sure.
I'd be nervous to have it done at like a party where people were just being crazy in the middle of it. Like somebody's going to walk over and just knock everything down.
It's a delicate situation. But did you see that they are polishing the silver and sitting on the glasses and stuff? And Ellen says, he talks to camera and he says, Mr. Hefner gets everything perfect.
Yeah. And back to the bow and the big card that were on the golf cart. In commentary, I say I didn't take the bow off for so long just because I thought it was so cute.
Yeah. And the big card was from Hef. He wrote it.
And then I'm driving back to the mansion from the salon after getting my hair done and my Marie Antoinette updo. And Hank is hiding the golf cart from me and he's kind of like steering me around.
Yes.
And they cut to a confessional interview of you. And in the background, there's the funniest thing. And it's a thing we call the stealth bobblehead.
Oh,
and what
yes.
It is it's Hef's bobblehead body. So it's like the body with like the smoking jacket and stuff, but it's your bobblehead, head. And it's just kind of sitting there funny. And it just looks really smug. Like you look like a little kid dressed up in their parents' pajamas.
Yeah.
And we called it the stealth bobblehead and we thought it was so funny, but it is really funny looking.
Yeah. I bet nobody notices that either.
No, but I think it's the cutest thing.
I have it somewhere. Yeah. I found that he did one for me.
Put it back there.
Yeah. If I find it, we will. He did one of me. That's the witch too. I have a black outfit with a witch hat. That one I found, but the Hef one I haven't found yet.
Yeah. It's super cute. And when I drove up that day, I was surprised to see a giant guillotine in the front yard, which was a Halloween prop that they used every year. But I never really like noticed it or cared because at the Halloween party, there were just so many big Halloween props out there that one thing doesn't really stand out.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask for the guillotine. It was something they thought to put there, but it was really cool.
I think I might have.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, no, we need this.
And I wasn't really trying to like spoil my birthday surprise or like snoop and find my present, but they're kind of playing it off like Hank has to steer me in the other direction. And you're saying I'm a sneak and a snoop because I am a sneak and a snoop.
I know. I was going to say that,
but I wasn't really trying to like see before.
Yeah. You know? Well, I was going to say that I call you a sneak and a snoop, which is true.
Totally.
But then but the reason I was saying it and I'm like, she's trying to sabotage the present wasn't because of like this scene or anything like that. But they had told me that you went over to the other house where it was parked.
Oh, I might have, but for some other reason.
Right,
I don't think it was for that. That is so
funny.
But
it was the day that it was being delivered and we were waiting for them to get there. And then you were like, oh, I need to go to the other house for something. And we're like, no, you can't.
Yeah. And they asked me in my confessional about snooping. And I say, I don't mind surprises. I just don't like it when people hide things from me. And that's a very loaded statement because the reason that I was such a big snoop at the house. I mean, I am the type of person that does love a mystery and does like to find out shit. But the reason I was such a snoop at the mansion was I felt like I was in this weird relationship where I didn't have any control. Like in the beginning, I didn't know who was going to come into the bedroom on any given day. You know, I didn't have any choice in that or anything. So I would always want to look in like Hef's wooden box to see who's coming up. Like it was like a protective measure for myself. Like I wanted to be in the office to know what was happening and know what was going on because I felt like I had no control over my life and I wanted to know what train was going to come hit me next.
I know.
Ugh.
No, I was all for it.
I get so gross when I even think about that time period.
Yeah. No, I know that that was definitely the reason that you were doing that. And I know that you would come back to me and be like, oh, so we have to watch out for this because this is about to happen. Or did you hear this is going on? Or did you see whose picture was down in the, like, there were always like things. So it was good that you did that stuff.
Yeah. That's why I'm 99.99% sure there are no tunnels under the mansion leading anywhere because I would have found them.
Yeah. I've been like, what 100%. Are these for?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. I was over at the other house. I was waiting for it to be delivered, like literally standing there because they were going to be here on a flatbed truck with this like any minute. And the producers walkie-talkied over and said, Holly's trying to come over to the other house.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I knew the golf cart was coming over there or anything like that. I was probably just because I used to go back and forth over there a lot because I had a storage closet over there.
Me too.
I had like a sewing machine over there. Just all kinds of random shit.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story? And this is, I thought about this because I thought about like snooping and finding things out and stuff.
Yeah.
When Hef would talk about his relationship with Barbie Benton, he didn't always have the nicest things to say. I think some people would be surprised to know. And one of the stories he would tell semi-regularly, and not just to me, but I would hear him telling the story to other people, was when he was dating Barbie, Barbie lived at the LA mansion. And then he would split his time between the LA mansion and the Chicago mansion. He had a whole other main girlfriend named Karen at the Chicago mansion. And he would still get annoyed when this story would come up because I guess at one point Barbie broke up with him and they would get back together after this. But at one point Barbie broke up with him because some magazine wrote a profile about him and they kind of, they did pictures with him, you know, just like a lifestyle piece. And they call it like Captain's Paradise or something. And they're like, oh, well, here he is in LA with his girlfriend, Barbie. And here he is in Chicago with his girlfriend, Karen. And Barbie saw that. And of course, as anybody would, freaked out and broke up with him. And when Hef would tell that story, he would get pissed and say Barbie was a hypocrite because, you know, she should have known. All she has to do is look at my scrapbooks and see, like, how is that Barbie in the wrong? That's like the modern day equivalent is like a guy saying she should have known I was cheating. All she had to do was go through my phone
or look at my social media.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Crazy.
That's bizarre.
So the next scene is Hank and Kendra in the pantry talking about my present. And I just want to say there is a very solid view in the background of all the napkins and placemats that were always readily available in the pantry. Because we know somebody later on down the line would write a book about how the butlers would freak out because there was no napkins. And I'm like, when was there ever no napkins?
Right. That's perfect. So he's talking to her about that it's hiding.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that this scene is only in there to try and include Kendra some more? Because I feel like it's a very weird scene.
Probably. And people have asked me, you know, we're on the Patreon asking for questions about this. People have asked me if they thought Kendra was trying to like ruin the surprise or trying to like get it revealed to me in this scene and the scene right after. I don't think so, but I do think Kendra is very much in this episode leaning into her tropes, just as I'm leaning into my trope or what I think my trope for this episode should be is like I'm spoiled bossy princess. She's leaning into her tropes as like the mischief maker and the one who has to never prepared and changing and finding a million outfits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I didn't really feel like, did you feel like that she was trying to like ruin a surprise?
No, I didn't think she was trying to ruin the surprise.
But I know people were asking about that.
But I did think that this was a very set up scene to just include Kendra more, to give her something to do, because I felt like it was a very weird interaction to have. Kendra had nothing to do with this golf cart at all, like barely even knew you were getting it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's weird that Hank would ask her, do you want to talk to Hef and find out when you guys want to give that to Holly?
Mm-hmm.
He would never ask Kendra to talk to Hef to find out what time. He would call up to Mary and be like, 100%. What time do you want to do the reveal? Or where do you want me to put it? Or whatever. This would never, ever happen. And even if Kendra said, well, I think we should do that at 6 o'clock, he'd be like, why don't you have Hef or Mary yeah. call me and tell me totally. What time? Like, it doesn't matter what time Kendra wants to do it or yeah. And he would never rely on her to be the one to ask.
Yeah. Speaking of, that relates back to like the convo I was having with Brian where I'm like, oh, you just tell him. Like, clearly I'm joking for the camera because I would never tell anybody on the staff to tell Hef anything except maybe Mary. And then it would be like, oh, do you mind like saying this?
Right.
Like Mary was the only person who had that kind of pull at all.
Yeah.
And Hank's cackle in this scene is so joyous.
I love it too. But they kind of have a little banter, just in case you guys haven't seen it, where Kendra says, where's the present? And Hank says, it's right over here. And Kendra says, well, where's Holly? And he says, she's upstairs in the master. And Kendra says, so she didn't see it? And Hank says, no. And then you yell from, you're right in the dining room, like right
oh
next
my God,
to them.
That's funny.
And say, I'm right here.
That's so funny. You know what? I think this is where we should wrap it up, because the stuff I have to say about this next scene of like me and Kendra and Hank in the pantry very much relates to the theme of next week's episode.
Okay.
The whole theme, because there's stuff I'm fired up about.
Okay.
The whole like misconceptions of this episode.
Okay.
So thank you for joining us. If you guys would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.